Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam.
And I'm Braden.
And we're here tonight on a Saturday evening doing nothing better than proclaiming and speaking the words of God. What a great joy that we have to share God's truth with you. Now, just a little while ago, I did a part one episode on God wants us to be holy and blameless. And we're going to continue that here in part two, look at some more passages in the New Testament, and then I'll do a part three looking at some Old Testament passages. And after that, I think we'll get back into understanding the deceptions of the devil. I have some other podcasts that I also have written out, and also upcoming, I want to do some on, you know, spiritual gifts and the things that I have learned through God's word and also in exercising with the body of Christ the different gifts that God has granted to us, spiritual gifts. These are not human abilities. These are God's gifts. With that, let's open up in prayer. Father, we come before you again to look at your word. Father, it's a wonderful thing to live before you, holy, O God, and blameless. It's not something that we try. It's something that we do. For we are not hearers of the word, but we are doers. Not by our might or strength, but by your power, O God, when you converted us and changed us into a new creation. We no longer walk and live according to the fleshly and worldly desires, but according to the righteous desires and your will, O God, as your spirit within us leads us. O Father, I thank you for the work that you have done in your saints. I pray that your word will convict those who are listening, strengthen those who are already saints, and convict those who are near at the door, that they may enter in and have fellowship with us and with you, O Father, and your Son, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think to start, similar like we did in the part one, we looked at right God's grace, which then allows us to live this awesome, holy, and blameless life before God. Passage that came to mind that I'd like to look turn to is Titus, specifically Titus chapter 2. Braden, if you'll read about the grace of God in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age.
Amen. This is the grace of God that appears to men and brings salvation. If you have received this grace of God, you deny ungodliness in your life. You deny the worldly desires. You now live soberly before God as one who's now alive from the dead, one who's in light, not darkness. You live righteously, sensibly. You live godly today. It's a different life, people. It's not the life that we used to live. Now, I'm not talking about people. There's some people who were just, even in the eyes of men, they were wicked people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people who find God, and even when in the eyes of men, they're considered a righteous man. But when they find God, even what in the eyes of men are petty little sins that they used to do, but in the eyes of God, sin is sin. It separates you from God. There is no petty. Those things are no more. They're a thing of the past. just as you continue to read in Titus, as he says in chapter 3, verse 3, they once used to live that way. What way, Braden?
For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
That's right. And that's because they recognize what it was and how God perceived their life before they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Turning over to Ephesians. For those who have come into the grace of God, who no longer live that old way. Because again, God wants us to be holy and blameless. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen. You see, God our Father, who is also the God of Jesus, he is the one that has blessed us. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, even the heavenly, with Christ. Just as Christ was blessed, we have also been blessed. We've been blessed with the same fullness of deity that we're to walk in as Jesus taught, and the Word of God teaches. That in Christ, even us, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. In God's foreknowledge, he already knew all things. And that we were to be holy and blameless before him. Some people look at that and say, oh, well, that's because of what Jesus did, not because of what I can do. No, what Jesus did was allowed you to then become a partaker of the same divine nature, to allow you not only to have your past sins forgiven, but to be cleansed from all sin, being removed and crucified in your life, being put to death, and you now being quickened and made alive by the Spirit of God, being baptized, spiritually baptized. So that you can live a new life, blameless before God. This is not anything that man can boast. It's whether or not you received the gift of God, the promise of the Holy Spirit. What does that life look like? Well, one thing it sure isn't. Is it's not a life that continues to have the desires of the world and the desires of the flesh that you once used to have. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you, when you were being dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked." Past tense, you aren't supposed to be living that way anymore. That's right, the old man. Who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, which is the devil, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, when you used to be a son of disobedience. How did Paul and the other saints, did they live that way too, when they used to live that way in chapter 2, verse 3?
Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others.
See, it's a problem. You're a child of wrath until you escape that life. It doesn't matter what you believe. The question is, have you been changed? And oh, what a wonderful change it is. A beautiful change. See, it's a change. We become partakers of the divine nature. It's this that allows us to be holy and blameless before God, the blamelessness that was discussed in the very beginning of Ephesians. The question is, have you been granted, in verse 16, as Paul prays, Of what? What is this granting in chapter 3, verse 16?
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened through his spirit in the inner man.
That's right, by the power of God, through God's spirit in the inner man. Did that happen? If it did, what then happens after that?
That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen. And everybody, did you catch that who are listening? To be filled with all the fullness of God. Then you are now rooted and grounded in love. Then you can understand and Christ can dwell in your hearts. But not until you've been filled up with all the same fullness to God that Christ had. Then what is God able to do in you and in Christ and in the church in verse 20 to 21?
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever.
Brayden, whose power is it that's supposed to be working in us?
God's power.
God's power. You know, there are so many people today in this false church that want to claim, oh, no, you can't live that way. I said, well, why is that? Oh, that's not possible. I said, oh, really? Really? No, that's an amazing thing. You're going to say that God's power cannot do what he says it's going to do? Why do you blaspheme God? Why do you doubt and call God a liar? Let's just be blunt. That's how God sees it, people. You are going against God's word if you believe otherwise. So if you have been added to the body of Christ, you've attained to three things. Chapter 4, verse 13, what are the three things that you've attained to if you've been built up and added to the body of Christ?
Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
There you go. You who are listening, have you come to the perfect man? Or are you going to make excuses? That's fine. Make excuses. Say that that's not possible. Say that you cannot be that way. That's fine. That just proves that you're still of your father, the devil. That proves that you refused to put faith in the Almighty God. You refused to come into his power, in his will, in his desire for your life. Don't listen to the lies. The devil is the one that wants you to believe that. Why would you destroy your life on account of the devil and the lies? Do you not believe in the Almighty God who wants nothing but good for you? Blessing in this current life? Do you really think that God would withhold that from you when he says he doesn't? No, the devil wants to withhold that from you. That's why the devil comes as an angel of light to lie to you so that you cannot be blameless and holy before God after you've received your forgiveness of sins and cleansing through the blood of Christ and the power by the Spirit of God now dwelling within you all the fullness of deity. You see, the devil wants you to continue to remain an infant in Christ. Infants in Galatians, as it tells us, have not yet received the Spirit of God in chapter 4. The devil wants you to keep you that way. The devil wants you to be that infant that's tossed by waves and winds of doctrine, by the trickery of men, so that you cannot come to the knowledge of the truth, so that you cannot find power, so that you cannot be free. But those who come to the true knowledge of the Son of God, those who come to the one faith, those who come to the perfect man, the same fullness of stature that belongs to Christ, they are no longer these infants. In verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be infants. Tossed by waves. and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, craftiness and deceitful scheming. No! But we're to be speaking what in verse 15?
But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ.
See? You gotta stop being an infant. You need to grow up into Christ so that you can be like him just as the truth was in Christ. If you don't grow up into Christ, if you continue to remain this infant, well, you're in a dangerous spot, as he continues to warn in 17 and verse 18.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart.
The blindness of their heart. They cannot be blameless and walk in holiness before God. They're still in ignorance. They're still in darkness. They're still slaves of sin. They still struggle with the lusts. Braden, I didn't learn Christ that way. Did you learn Christ that way?
Nope.
No. No. What does he say in verse 20?
But you have not so learned Christ.
You have not learned Christ. No. If indeed you've heard of him, if indeed you've been taught in him, what is in Christ in verse 21?
As the truth is in Jesus.
As the truth is in Christ. You who are listening, have you come to the truth just as the truth is in our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what that truth is? What is that truth, Braden?
That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts.
Has that old man been put off? Has he been put to death and crucified? Did God do the work through faith, or did you not ask God to do that? Or did you ask God to do something that you didn't understand? You cannot be holy and blameless before God until that has been done. Till that has been done, you will not see the face of God. You will see his judgment. God does not want that for you, nor do I. But if you don't repent, then that is what you will get. And what are you to put on? What are you to be renewed?
And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
In true righteousness and holiness. In true righteousness and holiness. So, lay aside the falsehood that you've been clinging to. Start speaking truth to one another. You're to be angry, but not sin. You are to have a righteous anger, but you better not have the anger of man. You better not be giving the devil an opportunity in verse 27. Can you steal anymore? What about the speech that comes out of your mouth in verse 29? Let no unwholesome word proceed forth from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification. Remember, if you cannot bridle your tongue, your religion is worthless. James chapter 1, verse 26. How much bitterness, anger, clamor, slander in verse 31 can you have?
None.
None. Who are you to be imitators of in chapter 5, verse 1?
Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children.
How are we to be walking?
Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
What about things of the world, impurity, greed?
But fornication and all uncleanliness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God.
No unclean man. You're still living in sin. I'm sorry, but you are not holy and blameless before God. You are not abiding in His holiness. You have not yet come out of it. You need to come to God so that He can complete the work in you. Stop being deceived. What does He tell us in chapter 5, verse 6?
Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience.
Sons of disobedience, that's how we used to live. If there's any of that old man still alive, then that old man was not put to death. Let no one deceive you. Therefore, are we to be partakers with people of the old life?
Therefore, do not be partakers with them.
Why?
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
That's if you actually came into the light. You see, the fruit of light consists of all goodness, all righteousness, all truth, proving what is pleasing to the Lord. Do you walk holy and blameless before God? No, we're to be exposing those things in verse 11. We are to be exposing the deeds of darkness. But there's a problem. See, not everybody's in the light, Braden. Therefore, he gives an imperative command in verse 14. What is that command?
Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
That's right. Some people need to wake up so that then you can be careful how you walk, not as an unwise man, but as wise. In the end, God wants to sanctify you. It's an event, not a process. Listen to the podcast we did on sanctification and being sanctified. He wants to sanctify you, the body, the church. So in verse 26, he might sanctify, cleansing her by the washing of water with the word. You cannot be sanctified and be made holy by God until you come to the true word of God and put your faith in the true word of God. Then you can be washed clean, and the Spirit of God will do an amazing work in you, that he then might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. This is what God wants for you, people. Well, look at Philippians, next chapter. Philippians, Paul praying for the church. What is he praying for them in chapter 1, verse 9 through 11?
In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
See, the question is, did that ever happen? Can you now approve the things that are excellent? In order to now be you yourself sincere and blameless until the day of Christ? Have you been filled with the fruit of righteousness that only comes through Christ Jesus? To the glory and praise of God Almighty? Has that truly happened to you? Have you come in that real knowledge and discernment of God? I pray that you do. Philippians chapter 2. See, some of the people were walking in obedience. What does he say about those people in verse 12 as you read?
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
to do his pleasure? Are we to have grumbling or disputes?
Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
You who are listening, do you shine as a light in the world, pure light, no darkness, as Jesus taught? Are you proving yourself blameless, innocent, without fault in the world? Or are you not? Colossians. See, there are people in the Colossian church who did hear the truth, who were walking in it. You always have some, and you always have some that are not. These people, Paul continues to pray for them. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to God Almighty's power," not ours, "for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience." Is that you? Is that the power that you have come into? To walk in a manner only that which is worthy of the Lord? Bearing fruit in every good work? Is that you? By his power? Or do you still struggle with the weakness of the flesh because it hasn't been put to death and you have no power? Verse 21 to 23. What were they used to doing, and what are they not supposed to be continue to doing?
"And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight."
That's right. There's a conditional if.
"If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister."
So again, you who are listening, are you struggling with thoughts or evil deeds? Those are supposed to be formerly. Have you truly been reconciled in the body of Christ through death? Are you now walking in a way to be presented before the Father, holy and blameless? Well, one, you have to be able to get that full cleansing. Be cleansed of all unrighteousness, receive of all the fullness and the power of God, so that then you can continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast. But sadly, I know there are some of you who are listening today, you have not even reached that state yet. How can you continue to stand firm in that which you have not yet even attained? By getting into the Word of God and understanding the truth. By finding the new heart and the new spirit and the power of God, so that God can do the work and you can overcome by his power and not your own struggles because of the weakness of your flesh, because you have not yet received power. The old man has not yet been crucified. Body of sin was to be destroyed. Have you fully been filled up with all the fullness as Christ was? You see, in chapter 2, he says, in him, Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him, you have been made full. What else was supposed to happen with us in verse 11?
In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, but putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead.
See, the question is, was the body of sin removed out of your life? Were you crucified with Christ? Do you understand what spiritual baptism and crucifixion is? As God defines it, not man, these lying devils in these churches. Who teach you in ignorance and do not even know what they instruct you in? See, the question is, if you've been raised up with Christ, have you actually been raised up with Christ? If you have, where's your mind supposed to be, Braden, in chapter 3, verse 1 through 4?
If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
And it's all predicated on if you've been raised up with Christ. Did you know that death is a prerequisite to life? Did you know until the old man has been crucified, the new man cannot be raised up with Christ? Go listen to the episodes we did on the book of Romans. Specifically, chapter 6, 7, and 9. Find out if that ever happened to you. If it did, you would not have sin in your life. What does he say as you keep reading in verse 5?
Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience.
The wrath of God is going to come. You're still a son of disobedience. The wrath of God is going to come upon you. You can't have any of this. All of it. Put it aside now. You cannot do it if you don't have the Spirit of God. Does he allow anything to be left? What does he say in verse 8?
But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
If you want to claim that you're a Christian, well, the first question is, Christian, where's your power? And if you do have power, and you so foolishly, after being freed from these things, not by your work, but by God's will and his power, and you have looked back and you have taken your hand off the plow and you're going back, well then stop being foolish. Set your mind on Christ and start doing the will of God. Why would you throw away your eternal salvation? And if you have a desire to live holy, but you're struggling and you don't know how to and you can't and you continue to stumble, it is most likely not a problem with your desire. Most likely it's a problem that you have been lied to, and you've never come into the fullness of the deity of God. That's probably the problem. If you have a sincere desire and you want to be free and you want to live in power and you want to receive the different gifts of God, to once being freed, living holy and blameless before him, to then do his will to lead others to Christ, then send us an email. Reach out to us so we can instruct and answer your questions. There's probably many things that you've been taught, but not in truth. And that's why, even though you have a desire to live a holy, godly life, you still struggle with sin in your thoughts and in your members. The issue is whether or not you've been taught the full knowledge of the truth. And if you're struggling, I can assure you, you have not yet. I'm going to turn over to that Corinthians. I want to cover just quick highlights. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. God doesn't want you to be sinning. He wants you to be living a holy, blameless life. He rebukes the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 because there are many who are not living righteously. In verse 33, he says, "Stop being deceived. Bad teaching," bad homilies is the word, "bad teaching corrupts good morals. Awake to righteousness and stop sinning. For some of you have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Brayden, did he say they had any knowledge of God?
It says they had none.
They had none, but yet they're a church. You see, if your knowledge of God is not in the full truth, then God will accuse you of having no knowledge of Him. If you haven't come into the true fellowship with the Father and the Son, then you will be accused of, "I do not know you." There is no partiality. You're either in or you're out. And it's not what you think. God will judge to His standard and His faith in truth, not yours. In 2 Corinthians, as Paul speaks of how they've been conducting themselves in the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, how does he say they've been conducting themselves? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12.
"For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you."
That's right. In holiness and godly sincerity. That's how we're to be conducting ourselves. That is the grace of God. Sadly, there's a lot of people that cannot live that way. The question is, has the Spirit of God been written into your heart? What does he say in chapter 3, verse 3, or 2 and 3?
"You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart."
Question is, has the Spirit of God circumcised your heart? Have you been written on it with a new one, by the Spirit of God? You cannot have the old way of life. It must be put to death. In chapter 4, verse 1 through 4.
"Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. For we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them."
That's right. Because unfortunately, there's many people where the true gospel is still veiled. The true light is not shining into their heart. A lot of it is because they're stubborn and rebellious and won't admit they're wrong. At the end, he challenges them. You know, God's a holy God. It's not God who has the problem. The reason why so many people aren't finding God is because of their own desires. God wants everyone to receive the grace. He wants everybody to be reconciled. But we have to become the new creation. Old things must pass away. New things must come. Until that has happened, you cannot be holy and blameless. You see, we're supposed to be controlled by something, Braden. In chapter 5, verse 14, what are we supposed to be controlled by?
For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again.
See, we aren't to be living for ourselves, but for God. The love of God is to be controlling us. Question is, did we die with Christ? Verse 17. What is supposed to have been passed away?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
See, a lot of people, the new has not yet happened. All the old has not yet passed. They're still struggling. They have not yet been reconciled to God. You see, just as God was in Christ, dwelling in him in the fullness, in verse 19, reconciling the world back to himself, he wasn't counting their sins against them when he was offering them reconciliation. You see, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world so that you can come and receive a forgiveness and be reconciled to the Father. But if you don't come on his terms of reconciliation, then there will be no forgiveness for you. An olive branch has been extended. The question is, are you going to be transformed and receive the same fullness of deity that he received, that we covered in Ephesians? If yes, then what do we become? Just as Christ was sent into the world, reconciling the world back to the Father? What do we become in verse 20?
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
You see? It's the same mission. Just as Christ came to reconcile the world back to the Father, so we now through Christ receive the same message for the Father now through us, making the appeal to be reconciled back to the Father. There's a problem, Braden. Many people think they can receive this false grace of God, and it's in vain. But does he not warn against that in chapter 6, verse 1?
We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain.
Verse 3, how much offense are we to be given in our lives?
We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed.
That's right. Our ministry is not to be blamed. How are we living in purity in verse 6 and 7?
By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left.
See, that's how you're able to live, when you fully come into the truth. Not giving cause for offense. Not being able to have the ministry blamed. Just as Paul spoke to the Corinthians freely, then I speak freely to you today who are listening. My heart is opened wide towards you. It is not me who restrains you. It is yourself. What does he say in verse 11 and verse 12?
O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections.
It's our own desires. There are so many people who do not understand the holiness that God requires and to be separate. What does he say about that in verse 14?
Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?
It's none. What else does he say?
And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?
None. What else does he say?
And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?
None.
For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I shall be their God, and they shall be my people.
So what does he then command in verse 17?
Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
So he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, completing holiness in the fear of God. Sadly, the Corinthian church, they were listening to a different gospel, different Christ, a different spirit. Chapter 11, verse 1 through 4, he warns, just as the devil deceived Eve, that they would go off and follow a different Christ, a different gospel, a different spirit, and they would accept it. Because there's many false men, Braden. Many false men in verse 13 to 15. What does he say about them?
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transfer themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works.
That's right, according to their works. So in the end, he has to challenge them. Because there are many of them that are still sinning. Many of them had not yet purified themselves. So Paul says in chapter 12, verse 20, what is he afraid of?
For I fear lest, when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanliness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced.
You see, that's what all that is in the sight of God. You cannot have jealousy. You cannot have strife. You cannot have angry tempers. You can't have disputes, slanders, gossips, arrogance, pridefulness. What are you doing? So let me tell you what God has to say to you. This is the third time I'm coming to you. Chapter 13, verse 1. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. As I said previously when present, and the second time, and now a third, even though absent, I say in advance to those who've sinned in the past and all the rest, if I come again, I will not spare. You want to seek for proof of the Christ who speaks in me, who is not weak towards you but mighty? For indeed, Christ was crucified because of weakness, but he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we live with him because of the power of God. And it's to be directed to you. So he gives a command. What is the command he gives in verse 5?
Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith.
Did you hear that? God's commanding you, examine yourself to see if you're even in the faith.
Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?
Are you disqualified? Do you realize that you have those things in you and you cannot get rid of them? Because you were never spiritually crucified and cleansed. You were never cleansed of all unrighteousness, even though you thought you were. Were you not taught that that's what was supposed to happen? But I trust you will realize that we ourselves, we do not fail the test. These are the things people don't understand, Braden, because they aren't being taught. They simply are not being taught. I'm going to finish reading one last passage in Timothy. 1 Timothy. What is the goal of our instruction in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5?
Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith.
Some people do not have a pure heart, therefore they cannot have pure love. Most people don't even know what it means to love as God defined. Listen to the episode we did on Love the Greatest Commandment and understand what God says it means to love, not man. And a pure heart. Most people don't even know what God teaches about the pure heart or the good conscience, the sincere faith. But there are many people, sadly, in verse 6 that have strayed from these things. There are many people in the world today and leaders in the churches who have fruitless discussions. Do they want to be teachers of the laws of God?
Desiring to be teachers of the law.
Do they understand what they are even talking about?
Understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm.
Do they think they're confident in what they say? Yeah, it says they make confident assertions about the things that they say, but they don't realize. You see, the law is not made for a righteous person. The righteous man doesn't need it. He's now under the law of liberty. He doesn't break the law. He doesn't sin against God. He doesn't sin against his neighbor. The law is made for the sinners, the ungodly, those who still break the law, the lawbreakers, those who are not holy but unholy. So in chapter 6, we'll end with this. There's some people who like to get rich in this world in verse 9 and 10. What does he say about those people?
But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Drown men into destruction and perdition. That's right. What else is money?
For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. For which some, having strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Some have even strayed from the faith because of it, Braden. But how are we to be living? What is the command to us in verse 11?
But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness.
You see, that is what you are to pursuing. That is what I pursue, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. I charge you to fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. How are we to be keeping the commandment in verse 14?
That you keep this commandment without spot. blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing.
Holy and blameless. You see, people, you cannot do it unless you've come to the knowledge of the truth, the true knowledge of God, and received the power of God through the new heart and the new spirit. But there are many people who have opposing arguments. Many people who call what they say is the true knowledge of God, in the eyes of God, it's false. People who follow that will have no power, and they will go astray from the true faith. Read verse 20 and 21.
O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith.
Let us pray. Father, I know that there are some who are listening. Not some, many who are listening. Who are straying from the faith. Who haven't even found it yet. Because they're listening to these vain and babbling arguments. And people who claim to have knowledge, but in your eyes, it's false knowledge. Father, that is why they struggle with sin. That is why they have no power. That is why many desperately desire to have a nearness to you and a holiness and righteousness, but it eludes them. I pray, O God, that they reach out. I pray they dig deep into your word. I pray they ask you to teach them, O God, and they shut their ears to these babbling fools that are leading them astray. I thank you, Father, for your word and your love for all of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.